for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in preparation, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of A Journey of Longing from our series, A Journey. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Journey of Longing.
Challenges, and I say this every year, Christmas time and resurrection season is the challenge of preaching messages. Now, the message is always exciting. When you talk about the birth of Christ, when you talk about the resurrection of Christ, that's exciting in itself. But sometimes we as preachers, as frail human beings, to try to present it in a fresh and new way every year sometimes can be a challenge. So this year I wanted to focus on some of the hymns of the church, some of the Christmas hymns, and look at them and kind of break them down for us as we go through this Advent season. So this year, Advent 2022, the theme is a journey. A journey. We want to take you on a journey this Advent season. You think about the fact that Advent was a journey for Christ, right? He left the glories of heaven and came to live on this wicked and vile earth, which one of the prayer requests said this morning, just in this country, this past week, there were three mass shootings. And so Christ left the glories, the peace, the joy of heaven to come to this earth and present salvation to us. So it's a journey, and we'll look at it from four perspectives. One of longing, we'll talk about that today. One of searching, one of humility. And then on Christmas Sunday, Christmas is on a Sunday this year, we'll talk about joy. Joy. The first Advent of Sunday is today, and we are talking about a journey of longing. Come thou long expected Jesus. Have you ever longed for something? Have you ever longed for someone? I remember in college when my wife and I first started dating, and we dated all through that first year, and then I went home for the summer, she went home for the summer, and we wrote letters back and forth to each other. Now, that was in a day when you couldn't just reach out and touch with unlimited phone call, right? You know, you were paying to be on that call, and so, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of calling going back and forth, but there was a whole lot of letter writing that went back and forth. And I remember how much I missed her. And as the time got closer for us to see each other, well, I was playing football. So I had to be back early for two-a-days. And so just knowing that I was going to be back at school, you know, that anticipation began to grow even more. And then I remember that we were out on the field practicing one day. And my wife came back, my girlfriend at the time, came back early, and they came to watch us practice. And man, it was like that longing was fulfilled, right? And man, footballs was hitting me in the head, and you know, people were tackling me and knocking me down, right? Because it's something that I long for, I look forward to, that time that we would be back together again. And you know, you think about this world that we live in. You know, I think about how, and again, I'm going to go back to the one prayer request that we received, just the wickedness that's in this world. And I'm reminded of a song that I remember when I was in Lynchburg at the church. They would sing it all the time. And it said that I'm kind of homesick for a country to where I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will be there spoken, and time won't matter anymore. And the song said, Beulah, Beulah land, I'm longing for you. My desire is to go to heaven. My desire is to be raptured into glory. And even the Apostle Paul, his long desire was to be with the Lord. Paul said that my desire is to leave here and go be with the Lord. Yet for your sake, that I'll stay here a little while longer. There was a longing, a sense of anticipation that people look forward to. And so in our Advent song this morning, come thou long, long expected Jesus, that we have longed for Jesus coming. And this song was written by Charles Wesley. And Wesley wrote this hymn while he was meditating on Haggai 2 and verse 7. And Haggai 2 verse 7 says, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, what was going through Wesley's mind as he meditated on Haggai 2:7? Well, we see that in 1744, after he read this, that Wesley looked at the situation of orphans all around him. He saw these homeless children all around him. And then he began to look at the great class divide that was evident in Great Britain at the time, where you had the haves and the have-nots, and there was a great divide between. And this just tore Wesley's heart apart. And so he wrote the song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, seeing the orphans, seeing the divide, that his desire was for Christ to come and bring healing. His longing was for Christ to come and bring unity where there was division. That prince of preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers in the history of preaching, he made this hymn popular. And how Spurgeon made the hymn popular was when he quoted parts of it in a sermon. And from that point on, this hymn became a favorite Christian hymn in England, which transferred over here to America. Come thou long expected Jesus, born your people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. My. Born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever. Now your gracious kingdom bring. By your own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By all your sufficient merit, raise to us your glorious throne. In this hymn, Wesley has a threefold plea. And as we look at this plea or this call, first of all, there was a call for deliverance of Israel. That if you go and read Haggai 2:7, he was calling for the Messiah to come and deliver his people. But there was also in Wesley's heart, as he wrote this hymn, a call for deliverance of oppression in England, because Wesley's burden for the orphans and the class divide that he wrote this hymn as a call for Jesus to come. And then we see there is a call for deliverance from sin. He said, rule in our hearts alone, that the kingdom of God would live in our hearts. Come, thou long expected Jesus, live in my heart. Is he living in your heart today? Is the long expected Jesus? You know, I didn't get saved until my early 20s. And there was an emptiness in my spirit for 20 years. And I was longing for something. Didn't know what I was longing for. As Augustine said, that there is a empty spot in our hearts that only God could fill. And for 20 years, my soul cried out, come thou long expected Jesus. I didn't know that that's what I needed, but my soul knew what it needed. And thank God that one day I opened up my heart and that long expected Jesus came and filled my heart with joy and peace and righteousness. Come thou long expected Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, it talked about a Messiah who would come. After Adam and Eve fell, God promised that a son would come, that a deliverer would come, that a seed would come. And from that very moment, there was hope. From that very moment, there was longing. From that very moment, there was a desire for Jesus to come. Moses talked about him and looked forward to him. The prophets talked about it and looked forward to it. The writer of the Psalms preached about it and sang about it and looked forward to it. But I want to go and focus specifically this morning on Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6. In Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah gave this prophecy in the midst of tumultuous times. It was a hope that his people desperately needed, that a child would come and that this child would fulfill the Davidic covenant. And so, truly, Isaiah 9:6 is a call for the long expected Jesus to come. And so, as we look at this passage of scripture, first of all, it says that he's a wonderful counselor. He is a wonderful counselor. The word peleioes meant that he was a wonder of a counselor, a wonder of a counselor. And as we look at the word wonderful and we look at the word counselor, the word wonderful in this passage means incomprehensible. It means that he is an individual that cannot be comprehended. And the word counselor referred to a king in ancient Israel who gave wise guidance to his people. And I would ask the question today, isn't this what the world is looking for? You look at kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. That this wonderful counselor, and that word counselor again was a word that was used for kings and the counsel that they gave to their citizens. I tell you what, come thou long expected Jesus. This is, and you know what, this is what we are desiring, but we don't even know it. Who can you trust today? Can you, I tell you what, I hear so many people today say that we can't trust our government. But praise God, one day, and that's Republican or Democrat, right? Don't make any difference. But one day, a incomprehensible counselor is going to sit on the throne. And when he sits on the throne, all of his rulings will be just. All of his rulings will be righteous. That we will not argue about global warming anymore. And we won't worry about whether we should drive an electric car or gas power. You know, that's not going to be an issue. Because we're going to have a wonderful counselor that will sit on the throne. And I know sometimes my wife and I will sit and we'll talk and we'll look at all the issues that are going on in the world. And our thing is, man, Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. This world needs you. People killing one another. People robbing one another. People getting over on one another. We need a righteous king. We need an incomprehensible counselor who will guide us in the truth and the ways of God. He's a wonder of a counselor when he sits on the throne, right? There won't be any Senate getting together to debate what laws to pass. There will not be a House of Representatives that comes together and tries to figure out what the laws are going to be. But he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. And he will be a wonder of a counselor. But you know what? That's the millennial. That's then. I need something right now. And when you think about Jesus, when he came, you know what Jesus preached more than the gospel? Because the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, was not complete until he died, buried, and rose again. You know what Jesus preached more than anything else while he was here? What did he preach? He preached the kingdom. He preached the kingdom of God. And when Jesus is on the throne of your heart, you are in the kingdom of God. And in his kingdom, he gives us guidance. He gives us direction. He is a king. Yeah, I see people counseling others, right? You watch television and you see sometimes people are giving counsel to one another. And while the person is telling the counselor their problem, the counselor starts doing one of these numbers. Right? Thank God that we have a counselor who can be trusted to listen to our problems. We have a counselor that all we need to do is to cry out, and we are citizens in his kingdom. And when we cry out to him, I preach the message from Psalm 121. One time, it says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is thy keeper. He is a shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is thy keeper. He will keep thee. The Lord will not fall asleep on the job. In the title of the message, God will not nod on the job. And he is a counselor that's alert. He is a counselor that listens. He is a counselor that hears. And so tell him your problems. Somebody said, I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. Well, you know what? Sometimes you can have a little talk with Jesus, and that's great. But sometimes I need a long talk with Jesus. I need a long talk with Jesus, right? And I got to tell him all about my problems. He'll hear your faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn and you know a little fire is burning, just a little talk with Jesus, right? Just a little talk with the wonder of a counselor a wonder of a counselor will make things right. Come thou, long expected Jesus. Well, Isaiah goes on to say that not only is he a wonderful counselor, but Isaiah brings out the point that he's also a mighty God. A mighty God. And this word, El Gabor, that word Gabor, actually can mean strength or power, but it also means a hero. A mighty hero. That not only is he a wonderful counselor, but he is a mighty God who is a true hero. If you go to that next slide, please. The word El is the singular form of the word Elohim, and it represents the Almighty God. The word Gabor means strength, power, or hero. As king, Jesus is the almighty hero of his people, right? And so everybody is going to see the movie, right? Wakanda Forever, right? Everybody's going to see that where there are, what, in this movie? There are heroes in this movie. There are people who rise up to defend the honor of their country. There are people that rise up to defend what is right. And so, when we talk about Jesus as being El Gabor, God, the mighty God, who is our hero, I made up a new sign, and that is El Gabor forever. Right? He is the hero. Right? We lift up the movie star. We lift up the athlete. We lift up the musician. We lift up all these other people. We make them heroes. When there's only one hero. There's only one true hero. And that's El Gabor. That's God, the mighty God. He is our hero. And so he is the one that is the almighty hero of the people. But how does that translate into kingdom? To us being, right now, we are in the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God, Christ, you know, sets up his spiritual kingdom in our hearts. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a part of the kingdom of God right now. How does that translate into the kingdom right now? Well, we see, first of all, that he is a hero who brings deliverance. He is a hero. What do most superheroes do, right? Now, we're talking about the good ones. We know there's some bad ones. But what do most good superheroes do? They deliver people when they're caught up in something, when they're trapped, when they've been captured, that the superhero comes in and rescues them. John 3:16 tells me about my hero. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. My hero, I was going down in the morass of sin, degradation, and filth. I was sinking. My head.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Journey of Longing. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Journey of Longing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Longing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Longing from our series, A Journey. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.